This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday hump day, we're almost done. The peak of the week is behind us, and it is all downhill from here. And we have an amazing show for you tonight. There are going to be things about this show. In fact, I would venture to say most of the show is going to be uplifting. And what's weird is we are going to open the show talking about a sad topic, but I might make you feel better about it. It's going to be about a nation in decline, our nation in decline. We'll make fun of course, we'll take some time to make fun of Jasmine Crockett because it looks like she got fooled into getting into the race. The GOP is still useless. The American people, all people, still push back on too much technology. I have a great story about that. An hour from now, of course, we began part two of the Rhodesian Bush War History series I began last night. All that, emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, there are some ugly numbers out there right now when it comes to the American people and where they're at. Jobs numbers, debt numbers. And Trump went out last night and he hit the campaign trail again. Get ready to see a lot more of that. Trump hit the campaign trail because he wants to avoid the midterms being as bad as people think they might be. Remember, we don't know that. It's December. Next November is the midterms. Don't doom and gloom yet. We don't know what's going to happen in the midterms. The economy's not great. Trump has been saying things like this. Pretty good.
But I do want to talk about the economy, sir, here at home. And I wonder what grade you would give
A plus.
Economy. A plus.
Yeah, A plus, 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 plus.
Try. He said this last night at the rally.
You don't need $37 for your daughter. Two or three is nice, but you don't need $37. So we're doing things right. We're running this country, right?
The economy's an A plus. Just buy fewer things. You're fine. All right. So I know people are mad about that. So I'm going to make you, I think, possibly feel better about it. We're going to talk about something bigger. When you compare that to this, I want to give credit where it's due. This is from something called the Finance Newsletter. The U.S. now has a record $18.6 trillion in household debt, $13.1 trillion in mortgages, $1.7 trillion in auto loans, $1.7 trillion in student loans. By the way, these are all records, records, records. And a record $1.2 trillion in credit card debt. The total mortgage debt is now 40% higher than its peak, which was 2006. Oof, sounds really bad. 33% of Americans have more credit card debt than emergency savings. Maybe that's you. Now, how could any of this make you feel good? Things are bad. The jobs, the wages, the debt is bad. Trump's messaging maybe is unappealing to you. And I've already told you my thoughts on it. I'll tell you them again in a little bit. But why don't we put our big boy pants on, our big girl pants on, just you and me talking here. Why don't we have an honest conversation? It does not have to be happy-go-lucky, oh, everything's perfect, because that's ridiculous. That's not true. But it also doesn't have to be the ultimate black pill,
everything's terrible, everything's bad, the country will implode tomorrow, we're going to lose everything in the midterms, the communists will arrest us all next year and shoot us in the head. Surely, I think you and I can agree that we're somewhere in between those things, right? You would agree with that? Everything isn't perfect. Everything won't end tomorrow. So let's be honest about something. I say when I want to zoom out and talk about something in kind of a bigger way, I usually say let's take a 30,000 foot view of it. You know what? Let's keep going. Let's take a 50,000 foot view of things. Although I'm not a scientist, that might put you in outer space, but you know what I mean. We're going to zoom out even more. Next year is the year 2026. Next year, the United States of America will be 250 years old, officially. 250 years old. That's awesome. Awesome. For a nation to last 250 years is awesome. But we're having a talk about reality here. Historically, I know you've looked into these things, or at least you've heard me talk about these things. Maybe you're not a history nerd like I am, but the Persians, the Romans are an exception. We'll set them aside. The Mongols, the Ottomans, empire after empire after empire. In fact, we could even make it about the Romans. How long are they on the rise? How long do they remain at their peak? And then how long does decline go after they reach their peak? You know, nations do that. They rise and they fall. What if we are a nation in decline? And what if that's okay? Here's what I mean by that. I know when politicians run, I understand. I totally get why they all do it, and they all do it. I understand they all get up and give you some version of our best days are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us. But what if that's simply not true? And the history of the world says that's very unlikely, extremely unlikely, that you even made it to 250 years is impressive. And what's more, we are $37 trillion in debt. Technology is coming at us fast. Personal debt, national debt. We have way too many foreigners here poisoning the country. We have all these different things we can point at. What if we are in decline and there's really no way we can stop being in decline, because that's just what happens to countries that last 250 years. But I know that sounds bad. I told you it was going to make you feel better. Stay with me here. What if that decline, because of how great we still are, what if that decline is going to be long and slow, like the decline of the Roman Empire, long and slow? And what if that decline is so long and slow that if you and me, we dig in, we get involved, and we fight tooth and nail as if we're about to save this place tomorrow, what if that decline is so long and so slow that your kids and their 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 kids still get to live in, yes, a different country, not the same one you've had or I've had, but a wonderful country, a modern country, a stable country, a country where they can hopefully have a job, hopefully have a good standard of living, hopefully have a little of this, a little of that, maybe a little extra scratch to go down to Orange Beach on the weekend. Maybe we aren't just about to hit our best days. Maybe our best days are behind us. History says they are. Isn't that okay, though? You're not cheering for it. I'm not cheering for it. I don't expect you to stand up right now and clap. I'm not clapping. I don't want to be in decline. You don't want to be in decline? My hair's falling out. I'm not cheering it. My beard, every single day, it gets grayer. And it's not it's not coming back. It's not going to go brown again. No, I'm not dying it. This is the way it is. I'm going to look like Santa Claus in a couple years. Decline is inevitable for all things at some point. But my hair may be falling out. I don't have cancer yet. I haven't died of a heart attack yet. Sure, that day will come one day. That's how it goes for the Kellys. But I'm still here. Lord willing, I still have tomorrow, another year, maybe another 20. If we are in decline, maybe we should fight tooth and nail as if we can still turn things around, while at the same time accepting the decline is here, we can't stop it. Let's attempt to manage it. I'll explain Trump's messaging in a moment. A theory I have on it. Actually, a theory I've heard, but a theory I have on it. Before we get to that, I want to talk to you about, well, actually this exact subject. $37 trillion in debt is real. The credit card debt is real. The mortgage debt is real. Everything looks like the bubble could pop. But when is that going to happen? I'll clue you in. I have no idea. None. Might be tomorrow morning. Might be 10 years from now. But everyone knows there's one coming. What's going to happen to your retirement when the bubble pops? It's going to pop. It's inevitable. Have you fortified your retirement with gold and silver from Goldco? Have you made a phone call to just give yourself some peace of mind, knowing that that online brokerage account that's on your phone, you don't have to live in mortal fear that it's sending you text alerts saying, beep, 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 time to go back to work. You're not retired anymore. Call Goldco. You might qualify for unlimited bonus silver right now. Go to jessielikesgold.com or call 855-817-GOLD. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Kind of giving a 50,000-foot view of possibly where we are as a country, the United States of America. And in a weird way, I know it's kind of a dark way, in a weird way, maybe making you feel a little better about it. We have lasted almost 250 years. Empires don't last that long, and they certainly don't peak after that point. Historically, that's not how it works. You accumulate too much debt, too many foreigners, too much corruption, too much of this, too much of that, and nations rise, and then they begin to decline. Remember, huge, powerful countries don't fall all at once. That's not how it works at all. A decline begins. So, here's something the DC rumor mill has tossed around, and it's something economists I know have tossed around. Historians I know have tossed around. I bet I've heard this, quote, theory from 10, 20 different people. And here's the theory. Maybe you are one of these people. And by the way, I do think it's terrible messaging from Trump. The economy's great. The economy's perfect. Buy less stuff. But I got that. I understand that. We'll get to that. But the theory is we are a nation in decline. People who remember what prices were pre-COVID want those prices to go back. I do too, but those prices are never going back. In fact, the Federal Reserve isn't even attempting deflation. Remember that. They're not even attempting it. The goal of the Federal Reserve is to get inflation down to 2%. What they want is inflation to go up just a little bit more. Therefore, the ugly, brutal reality of life is the prices you paid back in 2020 before we shut down an economy for a chest cold are never, ever, ever coming back. The United States of America. We are not the United States of America of 1950 anymore because of the mass importation of foreigners, the mass accumulation of debt, corruption, criminality. We failed to stop the internal communist menace. A variety of reasons. We're not that country. The Trump administration, Trump himself and the people around him, They believe me, they know all the same economists and historians and people like that I do. I believe they understand that we're never going back. And I believe, in a way, when Trump tosses this everything's wonderful messaging out there, as much as I disagree with that messaging, I believe it's Donald Trump trying to deliver a hard dose of reality to the American people, trying to give the American people a soft landing of understanding, if I have to put it in the most Dr. Seuss way I possibly can. A soft landing of understanding that this is life now. And that if life is going to be more comfortable to the American people, we have to do drastic things. We do have to mass deport 20, 30, 40 million foreigners. There's no question. If you ever want housing prices to go down, healthcare costs to go down, all these things, there's not going to be a new law. There's not going to be a new this, a new that. It's not possible. We have to get foreigners out of the country, period, en masse, not just the rapists, all of them. We have to get them out of the country. That has to be done. We are going to have to at some point. You can hate this or love this. I don't give a crap. If you're offended, you can email me. I still won't care. We are going to have to cut government programs, including government programs you may love and or rely on. You can cut a little now or you'll lose all of them one day. Period. End of story. And that's not popular. In fact, no politician even attempts to sell it because they know that's a good way to lose your seat. If we are to ease the pain on you, on the American people, wages must go up. That comes back to the mass deportation of foreigners. I think there's a reason Trump keeps saying things like this.
Pretty good.
But I do want to talk about the economy, sir, here at home. And I wonder what grade you would give
A plus.
Economy. A plus.
Yeah, A plus, 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 plus.
How's that land? It's December. What is the date here? December 10th. We're 15 days until Christmas. There's somebody, maybe it's you listening to me right now, with $15,000 in credit card debt, just had to sit down with his wife and kids and let them know we can't really have a special Christmas meal this year. And kids, I'm sorry, we're going to get a nice card. We'll have some hot chocolate as a family, but we're not really going to be able to do presents this year. If that's the conversation you just had, how's this land?
You don't need $37 for your daughter. Two or three is nice, but you don't need $37. So we're doing things right. We're running this country, right?
It doesn't land well, and it's terrible messaging, and I wish he would stop saying it. But what if the reality is Donald Trump understands that the America we used to have is not coming back, and he's going to do the best he can do to give us a soft landing of understanding? What if he's going to attempt, and look, it's Trump. It's going to be a bit of a ham-fisted way. He's anything but delicate. It's Donald Trump. What if he is attempting to say, yeah, having less is going to be the norm now? You can't stare at the debt numbers, the credit card debt numbers, the student loan debt numbers. You can't look at the jobs numbers, the wages numbers. You can't look at that and say, the economy's great, just buy less stuff. That doesn't work. It's terrible messaging, but it's probably honest. Maybe we are a nation in decline. We probably are. That doesn't mean it has to be the end of the world. Maybe it means we have to adjust our expectations on some things. All right? All right, that was ugly. Kind of. Speaking of which, let's talk about something brilliant the Republicans did. I don't think I've ever said that before, but wow, this was devious and brilliant, and I love it. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States. Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday. We're about a half hour away from part two beginning of our little history thing we're doing on the Rhodesian Bush War. I did get your endless emails. I am glad you are enjoying it. The story continues tonight. Reminding you, if you missed part one, that was last night. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, the podcast is free. Hour two of last night, we did part one, kind of a background thing on the area. Can't recap all that for you tonight, so if you need that, got to go listen to it. Now, let's move past the nation in decline stuff, the terrible messaging of, well, just do with less. That doesn't work. That's the last thing people want to hear. We'll move past all that. The Republican Party in general is stupid and cowardly and useless. You know that. We've discussed it many times before. They're all we've got to oppose the communist Democrats, but daggone, I get frustrated with them, and I know you do as well. But you got to give out some credit where credit is due, I'll be honest. The Jasmine Crockett Senate campaign in Texas, you know how happy I am about it. It's going to be the source of endless entertainment. The talk radio fodder for it is just solid gold. I remember I played the rap song last night. She got introduced by a rapper rapping about politics. It was just the greatest thing in the world. Now, I told you why she got in. She got in because she wants a book deal. She wants to increase the size of her brand, all these other things. But even Democrat operatives, certainly the intelligent ones, they've come out already and said, man, this is so bad for the party. Man, this is terrible for us. This is, if you are a Democrat who has any sanity at all, certainly anybody who's seen poll numbers, you understand that if Jasmine Crockett truly becomes the face and voice of your party, you're going to get murdered in the upcoming elections. That's why Donald Trump, who has seen the poll numbers, repeatedly has called her the face of the Democrat Party. She's the new leader of the Democrat Party. He's not just trolling when he does that. He's trying to project it. He's trying to manifest it, I should say. He's trying to make it happen. That's why he says it repeatedly. If Jasmine Crockett, coast to coast, becomes the leader of the Democrat Party, man, oh man, are they in trouble.
Maybe because these people, they are crazy because they always talk about how Christian they is. Yeah, I don't know how many of them on that side are getting divorced because they getting caught up sleeping with their co-workers, staffers, interns, all the things. Yeah, you ain't got to believe me. Just go Google. You'll find some of it. I'm telling you, and the wives is being messy and petty. They putting it in.
Do you know the percentage of Americans of all walks of life, of every party, coast to coast, all 50 states, do you know the percentage of Americans who desire to hang out with or be led by the angry ghetto black woman? Do you know the percentage of Americans who want that? I promise you it's in the single digits. Nobody. Nobody. Black men, white men, Republicans, Latinos, Marylanders, Arizonans, Montanans. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, man, I need to find an angry ghetto black woman to shout at me today, and I need to get her elected. It's just the worst brand in the world. It's terrible. If she can become the national voice of the Democrat Party, if that can be her, it's going to greatly aid Republicans in coming elections. So there's something called the National Republican Senatorial Committee. There's also a House version of this, but we're not going to go into that. As you've probably figured out, the National Republican Senatorial Committee has one job and one job only. That is to get Republicans elected to the Senate. And to be fair, keep Republicans elected in the Senate. If you are a sitting Republican in the United States Senate, you will have to dedicate a portion of your time to raising money for the NRSC. Did you know that? That's a thing. And the more money you raise for them, the more powerful you get. It's a thing. There's a big pot of money there. And in general, because these big organizations are based in Washington, D.C., they're really, really criminally stupid, and they waste people's money, and it's just the worst thing in the world. But every now and then, you'll get some sharp people in there who will do something very, very smart. You want to know one of the reasons Jasmine Crockett got in the race? The National Republicans started polling this race in Texas, and Jasmine Crockett's name wasn't coming up, wasn't even being polled. Well, they wanted her to run, not these other kind of more normal-sounding Democrats. So what do they do? Well, I'll read from this article here. This is from notice.org. The Republicans, first of all, they started inserting her name into the polls and showing she was winning. She was surging in the polls. Then, well, I'll read it. Crockett herself even admitted she was encouraged to jump into the race by all the positive polling she was seeing ahead of her announcement. Quote, "The more I saw the poll results, I couldn't ignore the trends that were clear," Crockett said during her announcement. But the Republican efforts didn't stop there. In what the source dubbed an AstroTurf recruitment process, the NRSC had allies that were seeding these new polls pretty aggressively into progressive digital spaces, meaning they were taking the polls showing Jasmine Crockett winning and putting them onto social media accounts of Democrats so your liberal Aunt Peggy would see these polls. Oh, but wait, there's more. Quote, "There were several recruitment phone calls and text messages that went out to Democrats and high propensity voters across the state that would urge voters to contact and advocate for Crockett to join the race," the source said. They took the dumbest Democrats in the United States of America and they called them and sent them text messages and they said, "Hey, Peggy, Crockett is surging in the polls. We need her leadership in the Senate. If you would just call the Democrats, call Jasmine Crockett and tell her we need her in the Senate. Please, Peggy, call." And your liberal Aunt Peggy, because she's stupid, she believed it. And she called. And now, if Jasmine Crockett wins the primary, which is a big if she wins the primary, Democrats are probably going to get blown out by double digits in the Texas Senate campaign. I have to be honest, I love some Game of Thrones style Machiavellian political, you know, hackery, if you will, some knifing people. I think it's just the most entertaining thing in the world, that good old-fashioned dirty politics. That is dirty. To use the mental illness of the Democrat base to encourage a candidate who can't win, that is filthy dirty, and I'm a huge fan of it. And I hope this is the new Republican Party that actually learns to fight that way. It's fantastic. As for her primary opponent, it is so funny that the Democrat Party is now so beholden to the various communist front groups. They have to speak about each other like this. This is James Tallarico.
Hey, Team Tallarico. I just wanted to hop on here and record a quick video for y'all. We have always maintained that we are pro our campaign, not anti anyone else's. We will make the case for why we are best positioned to win this race in November and take power back for working people. But we will always treat Congresswoman Crockett with the utmost respect. She is my colleague and she is a leader in our state. She deserves nothing less. So now is the time. Please sign up to phone bank, send texts, learn how to host block walks. Let's go win this thing. Thank y'all.
I should remind you that in politics, in primaries, every single primary in the history of the United States of America has gone exactly this way. Republican and Democrat, I should note. As everyone gets into the primary, all of them. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. All of them. They all say, "I'm going to run a positive campaign. I'm not going to throw mud at the other guy. I'm just going to talk about me. And then the second the poll numbers start looking bad for them, they all start picking up big old handfuls of moose poop and chucking it at the other guy as much as humanly possible and totally forgetting the positive campaign they were supposed to run. But gonna be wildly entertaining. All right, I owe you a couple emails before we dig into the Rhodesian Bush War. It's gonna be a violent night. There's nothing I can tell. There's nothing I can do, Chris. There's nothing I can do. It was an ugly affair. All right, Tunnel to Towers isn't ugly. Chris may be, but Tunnel to Towers is not. Tunnel to Towers is out there paying off mortgages for Gold Star families, and tis the season. They do it now in the Christmas season. And let me tell you, when you've lost someone, the holidays can be very difficult. In fact, more difficult than the rest. You know how Christmas, maybe you're in a great place in your life. Christmas is wonderful and you're looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to it. Man, when dad isn't there because he died in training, it's hard. Tunnel to Towers can't bring dad back. They don't pretend like they can, but they find these fallen first responder families, these Gold Star families, and they pay off their mortgages for them, at least easing some burden for people who gave it all for this country. Help Tunnel to Towers do this with your $11 a month. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, a hump day. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Part two of the Rhodesian Bush War history begins about 10 minutes from now. And yeah, look, hey, it's going to be a rough race.
Let me ask you about a quote that you've made that has some Democrats worried about your ability to win statewide. You talked about quotes, and I'm going to read a lot of the quotes just to put it in the context. Quote, all the complexities within the Latino community. The immigration thing has always been something that has perplexed me about this community. It's basically like, I fought to get here, but I left y'all where I left y'all, and I want no more y'all to come here. If I wanted to be with y'all, I would stay with y'all, but I don't want y'all coming to my new home. It almost reminds me of what people would talk about when they would talk about kind of like slave mentality and the hate that some slaves would have for themselves. It's almost like a slave mentality that they have. Now, about the time that that was published last year, around 1 million Latino voters in Texas were voting for Trump. Do they all have slave mentality?
No, and that's not what that said at all, to be clear. It did not say that every Latino.
Yeah, this is going to go well. Hey, Oracle, you've asked several times, what if Kamala had won? I can't even imagine. I'm sure more of Biden insanity and malfeasance. I'm not sure anyone could dig out of that mess. Trump is doing what he can, considering what he's up against. What I don't understand is why he has to troll his enemies. Isn't doing what's right enough? He can criticize Crockett without calling them low IQ. The other day I see these articles about changing the national park free days. What's he think is going to happen when he drops MLK? Okay, and okay, so, all right. Look. Donald Trump is who he is, he's how he is, and I'm not telling you to be okay with it. I'm really not. But Donald Trump has always been a junkyard dog who bites everyone, everybody. And there are times when your junkyard dog biting people is wonderful for you. When Donald Trump is savaging someone you hate, savaging some member of the press, you stand up and you cheer and you're like, yeah, you get him. And then he turns around and calls a woman horse face and says that McCain would have been better if he wasn't captured or any one of the other things. And maybe if that's not your thing, maybe you go, ooh, and you wince a little bit and you ask him to stop. But what he's not going to do is change. We needed a chaos agent to change the direction of the GOP. The GOP for so long was putting Americans last. They wanted as many foreigners in here as humanly possible. It was all about big corporations and the mass importation of foreigners. That's it. Oh, and by the way, a foreign war in every country on the planet. That's been the main thing for the GOP for most of my life. That had to change. Donald Trump rising to where he's risen has been a huge reason that direction has changed. Now, chaos agents, people who walk in and turn things around, are almost always going to be people who do and say things that make you wince and cringe from time to time. If you ever seen one of those shows, what was that show? Bar Rescue. We used to watch this show on television, Ob and I. It's just garbage TV. I forget what channel it was on. But there were these bars that were run terribly. You know, there'd be cockroaches in the fries, and the bathroom was disgusting. This is the most disgusting thing in the world. And the bar would be hemorrhaging money. And I forget the name of the dude, this huge, tough guy-looking dude. That was his specialty, was bars. I don't know how you get to that. Whatever. That was his specialty. And he would come in, and I know it's a television show, but I'm just using it as an example. And he would come in and he would see how everything was run. And his methods were not kind. When he found out there were cockroaches in the fries, and that the bathroom hadn't been cleaned in 3 years, and that one of the bartenders was most definitely swindling a couple $100 from the till every single night, he was not kind. In fact, he would say and sometimes do things on the show that made you go, oh, I don't know that you had to call her a big stupid donkey. I don't know that you had to call him fat. What did that? You didn't have to do that. But change agents, chaos agents, people who change the direction of any entity, a country, a bar, whatever, a football team. They are almost always going to do and say things that you don't agree with. Change isn't easy. It's not comfortable. And change oftentimes doesn't come from polite choir boys with perfect teeth who never cuss. It's just the bottom line. Let's move on from all this. Let's go back in history. Let's do some history before we come back to all this stuff. All right? Part two of the Rhodesian-Bush War begins. And while that will most definitely help your testosterone, it can't do what a male vitality stack from Chalk can do. A male vitality stack from Chalk. We're talking natural herbal supplements here. Almost called them herbal. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. They are life-changing. Female vitality stacks or male vitality stacks, or maybe you've looked at those and you thought, maybe I'm not quite ready for that yet. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you get a subscription to Chalk Lit Powder? Set the other stuff aside. Put that in a smoothie or a glass of milk every single morning. Start your day out with vitamins and minerals every single morning. Every day. 2-3 weeks. A month. You feel so much better. You just every part of your life gets better. This stuff makes your life better. Better at work. Better at home. Your mind works better. Every part of you works better. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, gets you a discount on subscriptions. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.